At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to my favourite hour of the week. It is the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. And I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan, and the returning Martin Adkins. What a delight it is to have the boys
back
in the studio. Not such a delight, obviously, Cholton on the weekend going down 1-0 to Preston. A really disappointing performance there. We're going to be reviewing that game. Delighted to say Tyler, who's a Cholton matchday vlogger, will be joining us to tell us how he felt about the game, the result. He was at the game, he was vlogging it. You should check him out. He's coming on the show. And then more important matters, we're going to be talking about the Millwall game because it is a massive London game. Martin had a few choice words. Luckily, we were off air. Yeah. But we're going to be talking about Mark's activities, that game, and how much it means. And obviously, we're going to be talking about Together for 10 because there is something special going on with the two clubs on the weekend. And a little Cholton poll is taking place of all Cholton podcasters fans. Our very own Mark is in this poll. We need to get voting and we need to get behind you, don't we, Mark?
It's round one at the moment. I think this guy...
You can't go out in round one, Mark.
No,
you should have got a bye.
I'm smashing this game in round one, so it'll get a bit interesting later on, so we'll sort it out from there.
We're all going to come to it as me and Paul have dubbed it our housekeeping. We will get to that. But we want to hear from you as well tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, it wasn't just the battle of Cholton versus Preston North End. It was the battle of Paul trying to get a phone signal, phone service. He couldn't get his way out of a cemetery. But first of all, Paul, obviously Love Sport Radio, many shows. These are the fan shows. I got quite territorial, got quite defensive. Don't be going on other shows, Paul. This show is yours. Domain. This is where we want you. We don't be listening to Josh when he calls you up. You're here 9 to 10 every Thursday.
Yeah, I'll bless you for that. No, I mean, it's all down to Preston's dark arts game management. That was the reason I ended up in a cemetery, because they wasted so much time, especially in that second half when they got the one goal lead. They were feigning injuries. They were just sort of breaking up the play, wasting so much time. So it was about 7 minutes put up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I couldn't get to my car, so I thought I need a quiet place to talk to Andy and Fraser. And I thought a cemetery would be a good spot. And of course, typically it started raining, because then I had to then get shelter under a tree. And I thought this would be a great way to go out, sort of thunder and lightning.
I'd love to have seen this.
We should have YouTubed that.
On Love Sport, you know. Anyway, hello to the family. I think they're listening and watching tonight. So
good.
Hello to Karen, Ruby and Amber. Bless you all. And, the game. It was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Really bad.
I said to Paul outside, I think, you know, now we've all calmed down. And, you know, during the game, I was fuming because I thought, I just can't believe the team would come down and do this sort of thing. But we got to take it as a bit of a compliment, to be honest, you know, because I was chatting with a couple of Preston fans on the train coming home. You know, and they were saying, you know, we're quite worried about this game, you know, coming down. We thought, you know, Cholton are playing well, blah, blah, blah. So I think, you know, let's take it as a compliment. And let's, you know, just forget about it, move on.
Yeah, and they are a very good side. But I think where it hurts, or if we can say that it hurts, because it does hurt, any loss does. But why this one maybe more so? Because we've not come to expect this of Cholton this year. The start they've had to this championship season, and not just the start. We mentioned how good they've been this calendar year, you know, just behind Liverpool, Man City. I don't know if it feels harsh, but is it fair to say, Paul, perhaps maybe one of the worst performances of the season? Would that be fair to say, or maybe not?
Yeah, I would say so. But obviously, Wigan was a bad one. But definitely our worst home performance.
Yeah.
Because we did give it a good go against Birmingham and Swansea. But yeah, we were just really flat. And as Lee Bowyer pointed out after the game, you know, we are capable of matching these top, top sides, but we've got to be on it. And we can't afford to sort of be in any low gears. We've always got to be on our game. And, you know, fair dues to Alex Neil. I thought he was a good strategist before the game, and he proved it. And I think he may have got the better of Lee, perhaps, on Sunday. He really squeezed our midfield. And as he said, he just allowed our sort of wing backs to do what they want. He wasn't really concerned about that. And I noticed they brought in the guy, was it Stockley?
Stockley
up front. And I don't think he was...
A bit of a battering ram.
Yeah, and he really unsettled Charlton. And when I was looking at the previous lineups that Preston had in games
he won the penalty,
before,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he'd been playing much for Preston. I might be wrong there. But they may have brought him in specifically to, you know, bring about a bit of unrest amongst the Charlton ranks.
Well, he certainly unsettled Naby Sarr was poor in the first half. Naby's a good footballer. He doesn't like those battling, you know, those centre arse sort of, you know, put their backside into him. He don't like them sort of players. So with that in mind, I don't think he'll play this Saturday. But, you know, that Stockley guy, he was the one that annoyed me the most, because I think he was lucky to stay on the pitch personally. I think he'd give Lockyer a bit of an elbow. And I think, you know, if this VAR thing comes up...
You mean for the penalty?
No. Oh, right. In the first half. Yeah. You know, I've watched it on telly four or five times now, and I think, you know, on VAR, he might have got a red for that. But we haven't got VAR, so we just have to move on. You know, I can pick things up here, but we weren't at it. You know, we had a couple of players off form. Josh Cullen, they stuck someone on Josh, so he couldn't dictate the game. Connor was probably our most effective player on the day.
I had the best chance, didn't
he? You know, but... It's just one of those, we've just got to wipe our hands of it.
Well, obviously, I went on social media after, as everyone does after a game, to see what the Charlton fans made of it, notably the SE7 podcast. But a lot of Charlton fans, rightly or wrongly, really disappointed with a referee's performance as well. Paul, was it fair to say, what did you make of the ref's performance on the day, or is it a little bit of excuses?
Yeah, he didn't stand out for me. It's just that I just feel referees in general are not clamping down on this wasting time. I mean, he put up, was it 3 minutes for the first half? I mean, there was quite a number of injuries. Their guy Johnson went down. I mean, they were at it to a certain extent in the first half. So I just feel that it's just becoming a real disease in our game, this wasting time. And I was even disappointed to hear Huddersfield at Brentford, as soon as they went 1-0 up, they started to shut up shop and employ these tactics. Very surprised with someone like Danny Cowley sort of resorting to that.
They need points, though.
Yeah. I know, but I just think in the spirit of the game, and as Lee Bowyer said, listen, don't get me wrong, we're guilty as well, because Dylan Phillips got booked for wasting time up at West Brom. But as Lee Bowyer says, we don't resort to going down and pretending that we're injured. I mean, it was absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, but as I did put out on Twitter, I think there's a learning curve for our younger players from the Preston team. And I think, you know, I'm sorry, we've got to match what other teams do when it comes to, especially away from home.
Yeah, but we can't encourage youngsters to do these things, can we?
When you say encourage, it's not a form of... Because me and Johnny Burrow had this chat, and he's saying, you know, people can see this as a form of cheating, and I disagree. There's a lot of gamesmanship in the game. Little things like this, wasting the time. You know, that's why managers bring on subs at 90 minutes, the ball's going out. These are elements of the games, and to take it out of the Charlton sphere a minute, you know, this is what England never used to do at national tournaments, and everyone else did. We need to cotton on to that a little bit, because they're part and parcel of the game, ain't they, Mark?
You do, but that's also down to the referee to be in charge of it. I mean, what I will say is when we played Doncaster in the semi-final, we had a championship or Premier League ref, didn't we? And the difference, we wouldn't put up with any of that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? And the refs, he was a little bit finicky, but he gave some dodgy decisions for both sides, you know what I mean, on Sunday, the Preston referee. Yeah, we can't blame that. I mean, he wasn't at fault. He got the penalty right. I mean, even though at the time I weren't happy with it, because I
can imagine.
Well, as I say, I just don't think that Stockley was... I think he was lucky to be on the pitch, because he made a lot of fouls during the game.
And a lot was made, obviously, Paul. You know, the game being on TV, was worried, Charlton on TV. A lot of our games have moved now. We're doing well. We don't perform well on the TV. We like to have a superstition. Can we put anything down to that? Because it was in front front of the big crowd. Martin Allen, obviously, who does the Love Sport Drive, he was going. I was telling him all about Cholton the day before, and he texted me after. He said, "I'm gutted you've really built them up." I said, "Yeah, typical."
Well, we did have a couple of good TV performances last year, and I thought we'd buried this hoodoo because we used to be terrible on TV. But I think... it wasn't just the team. I think our crowd had a bit of the Sunday blues.
We were a bit flat.
Yeah. And it was interesting. There was a comment made by Lee Bowyer. The next game, when we have an early kickoff, which is Cardiff in a couple of weeks' time, 12:30, he's going to have the team staying in a hotel. And he said lessons were learnt there.
Yeah.
So he wasn't happy the players just sort of coming from their homes on Sunday morning. Obviously, he feels the build-up to it all wasn't as good as it should have been.
Well, this is a good point, because Mark just mentioned, actually, he said, you know, it's a good learning curve for the younger players. But let's have it right. Lee Bowyer, you're still a young manager.
Absolutely.
Still early in his tenure as a manager. It's learning curves like this for Lee as well, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I had a little bit of a Twitter spat earlier on today with another Charlton fan, because he was, like, having a go at Bowyer about making the mistake. And I said, yeah, come on, he's still a young manager. He's not even done 2 full years, probably. And he's going, oh, it don't matter. He's been a player for a long time, blah, blah, blah. I said, he's made a mistake. He's now... Because what he said was, oh, the guy's contradicted himself. I said, well, what he's basically saying is, I made a mistake. So, you know, I ain't going to do that again.
And you never know with these things. They win that game, and he's a genius for letting the boys stay at home with their families the night before, come into the game normal time. They would have if it was Saturday.
Yeah.
It's very hard to judge on one thing, but at least he can throw his hands up and say, maybe a mistake on this one.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to just sort of turn it on its head, I mean, we only lost to a penalty, and as I pointed out to the boys on the show on Sunday, you know, it was 0-0 in open play. Mm. So, you know... Hey. Yeah, thank you very much.
Dylan did make another good save, didn't he?
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
We know your stats can't always be trusted, Paul, because you asked us to name 3 teams with 3 words and then we found out there's another 6. So we can't always trust you, Paul.
But can I just retort on that, come back on that? Because I am known on this show for my negativity.
Yeah.
But at least I was getting things right, because you asked us couple of weeks ago how many points we'd get from, I think, 4 games from Derby, Bristol City, West Brom, and...
You said?
And I said 4 points, and we got 4 points. So
What did Mark say? Did you check everyone else?
He was going for about 12, 15
match. I went 7, I think.
What did I say? Did I say 1?
Well, actually, what Martin did say, he says we could lose the lot as long as we beat Millwall.
I did say that. So let's forget everything in the rearview mirror, because this game, and we're going to talk later, we're going to do a big Millwall preview. Delight to say, if you didn't hear the talk up, Tony, the hairdresser, will be coming on to give Millwall the Millwall position. And it's not just a hairdresser, it is the Sullivan's hairdresser. So he's got much to answer
for. Swiss Tony, is it?
Aye.
Swiss Tony, is it?
No. But
I don't know who Swiss Tony is, but I want to meet Swiss Tony.
I mean, amongst his previous clients, he did have the famous Tony Cascarino, who used to play for Millwall. So
he had a Barnet.
Oh, yes. So
he's got a lot to answer for, the game and the Sullivans.
Absolutely,
I can't wait to get the Christmas photos out. But we are talking all of the Millwall game. And someone who was at the game, obviously, to Preston on the weekend, is Tyler, the Cholton matchday vlogger, and he joins us next.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Cholton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Martin Atkins and Paul Sullivan. We were just reviewing that game with Preston on the weekend. We're going to be looking towards that game, because I know Martin and Paul can't wait for that one. The Millwall game, the massive Millwall London clash on the weekend. And we're going to be talking a little bit about a Cholton poll and Together for 10, which is a really important one. And now, though, I'm delighted to say someone who will know about the Preston game, because they were there on the weekend. They do a Cholton matchday vlog. It is Tyler Rowlinson. Tyler, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show. And we know there's a poll about the best Cholton fans. You're in it, Mark's in it, but we're all friends at the minute. What did you make of the game on the weekend? Because I saw the vlog and you wasn't happy with the refereeing, was you?
No, not really at all, to be honest. To be honest, it's just a bad day in general, to be honest. well, Charlton didn't really turn up at the end of it, to be honest. Didn't really create many chances, any threatening chances in the game, really. I think, well, Gallagher had a really good chance right at the start, but that was probably the only chance we really had. Just never really got going, and to be honest, I have to say that defeat was probably deserved it, to be honest. Didn't really deserve anything from the game, but as you can probably tell from my video title, obviously I was not impressed with the referee at all, because I did think he made quite a lot of controversial decisions. Preston, I don't think I've really ever seen a team like that, like, pretty much set up to win fouls and penalties like that. They went down quite a lot fairly easily. Some of them were fair enough, obviously, with some injuries like Johnson, and I think their centre-back split his head open at some point in the game as well. But other than that, there's just no real need for it, really, for just keep rolling over the floor, faking injuries and wasting time. 7 minutes additional time at the end of the second half as well was quite a lot. But referee decisions were quite poor. But at the end of the day, we just never really got going. And I think, as I said, we probably deserved the defeat.
Tyler, just on the referee, just on the Preston performance sort of thing, I said, I don't know if you listened a few minutes ago, do you not, now we've sort of like calmed down a bit, do you not think it's maybe we should take it as a bit of a compliment that they played like that against us?
I think potentially, not really too sure. I think definitely I'd have to say, like, I think obviously Preston set up like that, but I think in terms of the footballing ability between the two sides, I think Preston performed better on the day, but I think not really too sure what to think about that. I think Preston played better than us. As I keep saying, we never really got going from the start, but I think back then I probably wasn't impressed with the way they set up, like, to obviously just dive in and waste in time, but looking back now, I'm not really too sure what to think about it.
Yeah, hi Tyler. Just sort of on a positive note, obviously we were all feeling a bit down after that game on Sunday afternoon, but then I tuned into Love Sport Radio later in the afternoon. It was the Fans Forum, and one of their guests was our own Andy Marshall, the goalkeeping coach. And listening to him, I was immediately uplifted, because basically he was sort of looking at the season in general, and the main thing that resonated with me was that he said that we're matching up to all these so-called top sides, but what we've got to do now and install into the players is clinical finishing. And I think he's dead right there. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. I think, obviously, well, I think the season in general has been absolutely fantastic. I think we've exceeded a lot of people's expectations with the league. I think, well, to be honest, I think at the start of the season, a lot of Charlton fans were happy to finish just above the relegation zone, really taken anywhere. But the fact we're 10th at the moment is absolutely outstanding. I think, obviously, matching teams like Leeds, West Brom, teams that at the start of the season we definitely weren't expected to be matching, let alone beating them. I think that, obviously, it's been a fantastic season, but obviously I definitely think clinical finishing is something that we potentially need to work on, because there are games where we have performed well but haven't taken our chances. In particular, games against Birmingham, when we did give, like you guys said earlier, I was listening earlier, like, we gave Birmingham a good go, but ultimately just fell short and lost. Unfortunately, lost. Swansea was another one as well, where of course we fell short again and lost 2-1, but we gave them a really good fight. But definitely, I think clinical finishing is definitely something to work on. I do agree with Andy Marshall with that. I think that if maybe on a few occasions we had taken our chances in games, we definitely would have come away with a lot of points. But overall, with the season we've had so far, I've been very, very impressed, and long may it continue.
Yeah, you've been impressed, as have we, Tyler. But Martin mentioned earlier on the show that, you know, this would be a great learning curve for the players. They're a young side, you know, a bit of naivety there. They can learn from this one. Always learn from your losses and put it right. But can the fans learn from it as well? Because, you know, maybe there's been an element they've got carried away. Mark said, you know, some fans were having a pop at Lee Bowyer. There was a bit of angriness in the stands, you know. But you've got to remember, this championship, this is hard. Preston are up there this year. It's going to go like that, and we're still doing better than anyone thought, and it looks and it bodes very well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some fans have got a little bit carried away in terms of both aspects of the table, in terms of the fact that like, when we do lose to teams, we do start losing to teams like some people, like, we were so high on the bubble, because we were in that bubble in a moment where we weren't unbeaten in August, and then all of a sudden a lot of fans were on the high, like, expecting us to win all these games. And when we started to lose, some people's mentality kind of dropped a little bit and started to have a dig at Bowyer, which I think is unnecessary, considering, I mean, to be honest, I'd happily take the position we're in at the moment. As I keep saying, I'm happy with the position that we're in, and just hoping that it can carry on in a way.
Now, Tyler, turning to your good self, so this vlogging, where did this all start? When did you get this underway?
Well, I got it started in December 2017, if I remember correctly, and I'd been interested in it a long time because it had existed long before I started. Basically, I just really like the concept of it, and I'm aspiring to pursue a career in media and journalism and stuff like that. I saw it as potentially good practice to maybe as good practice to this sort of world, to kind of like obviously to gain confidence in reporting, gain confidence in front of camera, and to build up my skills a little bit. And so I gave it a go because I'd watched quite a lot of people do it in the past, and I found that someone who did it for Charlton by the name of Johnny Boxall. I'm not too sure if you know who he is. He works for the club now, I think. I thought I'd give it a go. Maybe it would maybe get a little bit of recognition, I guess. And I guess what followed after that is, I guess I consider it a bonus. Obviously, I've gained quite a good following for myself, which is a bonus. But the main thing I really wanted to do was just to basically get a practice for the world of media and build confidence in what I want to do.
Of course. And has there been any interesting moments along the way?
There's been plenty. There's been plenty. Obviously, a lot of highs and lows. Obviously, I began midway through the 2017-18 season. So obviously, I watched quite average and mediocre performances under Carl Robinson until he left. And then when Bowyer came in, and just went up from there. But I've had some really good moments of doing this. Portsmouth away was one. Doncaster away in the semi-final second leg last year was brilliant.
Yeah.
And of course, the second leg was honestly unbelievable. I definitely think that's probably the best game I've ever seen live. And of course, Wembley was absolutely incredible. And then the start of, and then this season has been brilliant as well. So I've had a lot of highs and lows.
Tyler, you're not one of those vloggers that films yourself celebrating when we score a goal, are you?
We're
old school, me and Paul. We're old farts, so we don't approve of that sort of behaviour. No, we're only joking. No, well done. It's a good vlog. I do watch it, so keep up the good work. And hopefully Saturday will be an even better one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something nice for you to mention on your vlog. I've been watching Tyler. It's where I get all my information on now. I've just let everyone into that. But it gives me a little insight into the game. And Tyler, there is a bit of a Charlton poll going on at the minute. Our very own Mart is in it. Obviously, that's where my allegiance is at. But I can have a second place. But if you do come up against Mart, my vote's there. But how does this Charlton poll work, Tyler? What is this all about?
If I'm honest, I'm just as in the dark as you guys are. I think I know the guy who runs it. His name's Jack, and on the side, I write for this online blog called Vital Charlton alongside Kieran, who runs it, and Jack was a part of it. And he runs this kind of his Twitter account called CFC Polls, basically just weekly polls of like that just gets fans interacted. And one day he decided to do like a competition in terms of like hundreds of Twitter accounts related to Charlton. He basically put them in like a massive tournament, and whoever won would be deemed best Twitter account related to Charlton. And I believe Louis Mendes won it the last time he did it.
So they named it after him.
And I've been in it both times. This is the second time I've been in it, and I believe I've just got into round two as well. So hopefully I can carry on and get further.
Mark, are you into round two? How does he know that and we don't know?
I ain't got a clue.
I'll have a look. Mark's been knocked out. He didn't get
no
the confirmation
chance.
In.
No, I that geezer said that I was a secret Millwall fan. So I had to beat him.
Yeah, Tyler, talking of Millwall, what's your plans for the vlog on Saturday? Because I expect if they keep us all behind after the game, you have plenty of opportunities to talk to fans then. What's going to go on Saturday?
Get the bleep button ready anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, Millwall notorious for that kind of thing. This is actually going to be my first time down the Den.
Oh, you've never been there, no?
No, I've never been.
Okay.
So I'm hoping it's going to be, what's the best word to use here? An interesting experience.
It will be, trust me.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that this year we can shut them up and grab a result.
Yeah, let's hope you and Lee Bowie are going to be lucky omens.
Yeah, let's hope so. Tyler, what's your score prediction then?
I can see a lot of goals in this. I can see a lot of goals. I think obviously Bowyer came out in the press and saying he's going to tell the players that obviously how much of an importance this game is to the fans. Obviously bragging rights involved, and I definitely think he's going to give them the passion and gee them up for this game. And if I'm honest, I think that I think we might nick it 2-1. I think I'm actually quite confident. I think we might nick it.
Good to hear.
Not only music to every Cheltenham's fans ears, but Martin would be absolutely over the moon. Let me tell you, honestly, the look on his face. But Tyler, thank you so much for coming on. We definitely want to get you on later on in the season and talk about the vlog. And it was great to have you on. And maybe we can mention the vlog in the later in the season, and then we can get you on.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to do that. Appreciate your time. Thanks for letting me on.
No worries. Tyler Rowlinson there, Cheltenham match day vlogger. He's going for 2-1. We have to talk about the game next. And I'm delighted to say Tony the hairdresser will also be joining us.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Cheltenham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan and Martin Atkins. The game on Millwall is coming up on the weekend. What a game that is. Before we look at the game itself, because we know it's a big one, we know Cheltenham are away, we know it's the only thing that Martin cares about, it's the only thing that Martin's thinking about at the minute, we have to talk about more serious matters. Yes. And Together for 10, Mark.
Yes, Together for 10. It's a charity thing that they brought together. It's the Rob Knox and Jimmy Mizzen family, the guys that were killed with a knife crime. And they're doing a charity walk on Saturday, starting in Sidcup and ending at the Den. They've got 11, they want to have 11 v 11, so to speak. You know, 11 from one Millwall, 11 from Cheltenham. They're still looking for walkers, so anyone out there wants to have a little walk up. I think they've raised 700 quid or so far, and they're going to split the money between the two foundations. It's, you know, we've got a, there's too much knife crime going on at the moment, and, you know, even the Millwall last season, when, you know, the Everton game, you know, it's just senseless, you know. We need to, and as people said, we are all literally from the same community. I mean, I've got loads of Millwall mates, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I do want to beat them because I'm sick of getting stick off of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, this Together for 10 is a brilliant charity, brilliant concept, and we just need to get behind it.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, being serious for once, I mean, it brings the two clubs together, and it's always a feature when Millwall play Cheltenham that, you know, the family of the two boys come together, and I think it's wonderful from that respect. So it should be good. I think they're kicking off. Is it about 10 o'clock in the morning?
I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a long old walk, but it's worth it.
It is. If anyone wants to is up for doing it, get on Twitter at Together for 10. Contact the guys. I think it's, Craig is a Cheltenham fan, is dealing with it, and he'll get back to you.
Perfect. Please get involved if you can. It's a really good cause, and they do come together. Together for 10 there, beautifully spoken by Paul and Mark. And now, though, it is another key feature of this Cheltenham show. It's been absolutely packed tonight. Talking about Preston, we've had Tyler on. And now, though, it is another tradition. It is Ahmed. Ahmed, not the result we were hoping for. Can't wait for this alliteration. What did you make of the game on the weekend?
It was a poor result. Basically, a desperately disappointing defeat, as far as I'm
concerned. Oh, not bad, mate, not bad.
Hang on, I'm counting now. That was two, was it?
But no, then again, desperately disappointing defeat.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Yeah, but then again, if Conor Gallagher's header had gone in, it would have been probably a totally different game.
Yeah, ifs and buts don't win games, goals do, I'm afraid. So
yeah, very much so. They change things, don't they? Yeah, I'm afraid Piercy's got to eat a bit of humble pie about that penalty.
He's going to make up for it Saturday, don't you worry about that.
That's exactly, that's the spirit. That's what we want to hear from him. Yeah, that's right.
An interesting stat, Ahmed. The two teams playing on Saturday, both their club captains by the name of Pierce. Just an odd one.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, but
I didn't spot that. Well researched.
Well, you know me. and also, beginning with D, your mate Dylan, I thought he made a couple of good saves, didn't he?
He had a good game. No complaints. Dylan's had a good game. Not enough of our players turned up. That's probably our poorest home performance of the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, particularly Josh Cullen. You know, they snuffed him out. They really did a job on our midfield in general, don't you think?
And also the defence, because they pressed so high. We looked so vulnerable. Every time, you know, Naby Sow had a disastrous first half. Every time we played it across the back, my heart was in my mouth thinking, we're going to concede here, because they had three players right inside our penalty box.
Yeah, I think
they did a job on us like we do, and we do that job on other teams.
Indeed. I think there's a bit of a trend here, because we seem to be more suited playing the better passing sides. So
I agree with that.
I think, you know,
we're also the ones that play more openly and more expansively, and they don't worry about the spaces so much, yeah? And that's when it really opens up for us, if we can take advantage.
So, yeah, sort of looking, I mean, obviously Millwall, they're full of grit and determination, so that could be problematical on Saturday. And then
I think it'll either be a draw or a loss.
OK, all right. Are you going, Ahmed?
I can't make it, actually. I've got other commitments, but I'll definitely be listening to it, though.
Whoa, other commitments? This is Charlton Millwall, Ahmed. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
Should be planning this for months.
My
whole life has revolved around November the 9th. Don't worry about that.
He completely...
I mean, Ahmed, when those fixtures come out on June the 22nd, wherever it was, that the first
the schedule was
you
cleared,
look for,
wasn't it?
Well, you look for
do
the Millwall home.
Do your family know about your problems in regards to Millwall? The unmentionables?
Well.
Ahmed, just quickly, what's your score prediction then for the Millwall game?
I think either 1-1 or 2-1 to them.
Oh, Ahmed, it's not. You're not going. You're giving Millwall the win. We've not enjoyed this, well, Ahmed. No, yeah, but
the last time we played, I remember, was at the Valley when we had that lovely 4-4 draw in the end, in the evening that time. And but we, as I said, we just can't beat them. That's the problem.
Just what concerns me, Ahmed, in past encounters with Millwall, we don't match that sort of that grit and determination that they've got and that intensity. I mean, what we've got to do on Saturday is be like Celtic warriors and just fight fire with fire. And that's what I'm looking for on Saturday.
Or even more, play for Bowyer when he tells them how we won in that last game back in 1994, I think it was.
Yeah,
completely.
That's it, in the snow.
You know, so at least he can motivate them. He knows what to expect.
Well, Ahmed, we always appreciate the tradition of you calling. Really good to chat after the game. Now, this is something of a new tradition because every week, Charlton play obviously a new team, Championship or Cup otherwise, and we get them on and we say this is the opposition view and we let them have their say of the game. Very rarely, Paul, a week later, we invite them back on the show to talk about the game. Is this a first?
Is he on? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Well, it is a first. Paul has confirmed it. I'm not sure if it's I'm delighted to say, but Charlie Wynyard from Preston Home and Away has joined us. Charlie, very lucky. You must have made an impression because we don't ask the people back, especially when they come down and they get 3 points. So you, sir, must have made an impression.
Yeah, well, nice as Northern, as you say, that's why.
Charlie, obviously it was 1-0 on the weekend. Preston going home very happy. I saw some videos where they were making lots of noise, enjoyed themselves on the journey home. Charlton not at the races, though. Were you a little bit surprised with that?
Yeah, I just thought you changed the formation quite a few times, and I was a bit surprised by that. Like, you started at five at the back, and I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Charlie, you know, in your previous games, had you played much of this fella Stockley up front? Was he on the scene much?
No, he's just the last two games he's been playing. Because usually have Nugent or Barcouzen up front.
Yeah, because I thought Stockley in particular, he gave us a lot of problems. And also...
Well, I thought he was going to come off at one stage. He was meant to come off.
Well, he perhaps should have come off, according to our Martin here, in the first half when he laid into our Tom Lockyer. Did you see that?
Well, I weren't happy. You could say it was a swinging arm, maybe an elbow. You know, I'm not basing the defeat on that, you know, but he was a good player and he's a tough, he really gave our back really gave our back five a going over. And that's why Sarr went off in the end. Good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Sarr was lucky, weren't he, really?
Yeah.
He looked a bit nervous every time he won that ball. You could feel the crowd. When absolutely. He was like, ooh.
Charlie, with that win, Preston going to the top there, obviously, before West Brom's game at Stoke, what's the feeling now? We know they're going for promotion anyway this season. We spoke to you last week, but they're beating teams that are random. Obviously, Charlton were up there. You know, no one's really taking the Championship by the collar this year. Do you feel like Preston can do it now?
Well, this is probably the best chance we've ever had yet. There's no, like you said, there's no one running away with the league, is there? And there's that many points between first to ninth and tenth, anyone can do it. But we've got a good chance.
And Charlie, what's your next few games coming up? All winnable?
It is possible. More so, we've got Huddersfield on Saturday, but they're in top of the form list at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah,
we won
of course.
Five in a row,
so that'd be an interesting game, actually.
Our game with your ex-striker up front, Carlon Grant.
Yes.
He bagged a few goals, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing very well. I think he might go to a Premiership team in January.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to keep hold of. But then we've got Derby. It's probably the best time to be playing Derby now. Yeah. Where they're playing.
Definitely, yeah.
And obviously, big news where Stoke, where Preston are concerned this week, because Stoke went in for your manager. We didn't speak about that last week, but apparently Michael O'Neill has got the job. So Alex O'Neill is not going anywhere. And he didn't want to go anywhere, did he?
No, he didn't. Never did. Well, we had some... on Twitter yesterday. We had some Stoke fans saying that a plane had landed in, well, a helicopter landed in Preston, but they didn't know that the EFL headquarters are in Preston. So they were trying to say that Alex Neil was going, and I was like, oh, no, where he landed, with the headquarters were down the road.
Just looking ahead to our January meeting, Charlie.
You'll have a third appearance.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Why not?
Just after Christmas. But I was listening to the Brentford fan show when they played you, and apparently you gave wonderful hospitality to the Brentford fans. What's this pub up there which has got a well inside the pub? Do you know anything about
that? Baker Street, I think it is.
Okay, yeah.
Baker Street, yeah.
They were quite intrigued by that. So looking forward to visiting you in January.
Yeah, it'd be good. The police are nice, Danny. They treat you as the way you should be treated.
Oh, have you got
You've probably seen online. We've got good police officers here.
Yeah. And you spent the weekend in London last weekend, did you?
Yeah,
made a weekend of it? Yeah.
Went to Canary Wharf, spent £7 and a pint. I weren't happy about.
£7? That's a bargain, mate.
Yeah, you might have got the 3 points, but we stung you for a pint. We'll take that, Charlie.
Yeah, wait till you come down here. £2 a pint.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, that son.
Charlie, always a pleasure to have you on. I look forward to the January meeting. Charlie Wynyard from Preston Home and Away there. Real delight. What can I say? It's rare that we get the opposition guests back on, but Charlie, a very special one. Hopefully this time we'll go to their place and it'll be reversal. The result, it'll be 1-0 to Charlton, and we can just ring him up whenever we please.
Exactly.
And maybe charge him £10 for a pint. Next though, the guests, they just get better and better, because honestly, believe this one, Tony the hairdresser is coming on and he has a lot to answer for.
Love Sports.
It's time for the opposition view. We've already had one opposition guest back on. What a packed show this has been. The Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul Sullivan and Martin Atkins. We spoke to Tyler Rowlinson, the Charlton match day vlogger. We just spoke to Charlie Wynyard from Preston Home and Away. Ahmed's called up. It's been Charlton mad, as it should be, on the Charlton Fan Show right here at Love Sport HQ. Now we turn our attentions to that massive fixture, the huge London clash on the weekend against Millwall. Charlton away there, and who better to get on than not only a Millwall fan but Paul Sullivan's hairdresser. I'm delighted to say
yes.
Tony the hairdresser joins us now. Tony, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. The first question though, Tony, of course it has to be, I'm a bit worried for Paul, and I tell you why. Millwall Charlton Saturday, and you're cutting Paul's hair next week, and if Charlton get the better of you, you're not going to give it, you're going to give him that Mohican that you spoke about.
Yeah, I love to give Paul a Mohican.
I hope he tips well.
Yes.
I tip him in biscuits.
No, hang on a minute,
Tony.
Yeah.
I tip you in tea, biscuits and sandwiches. And you know that.
He gets a cup of tea and a bar of chocolate at my house, mate.
Well, occasionally. Yeah. But anyway, Tony, great to have you on. And talking of your hairdressing, you've got a number of clients in the Blackheath area who are so-called Charlton fans. And whenever there's a game like this coming up, they like to give you a bit of stick. Tell us a little bit about that.
They like to give me a bit of stick. And, I just think, do they really go? It's like a lot of Charlton fans that sort of were with them and season ticket holders during your glory years in the Premier League. And then once you started going to free-fall, they stopped going.
Mm.
And since you come back up, or the last season, they started, give me a bit of jiff about, oh, we're going to take you on and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And, I think they're fickle, basically, mate.
Fair dues.
All right, Tony, thanks for coming on. What was your initial reaction to the departure of Neil Harris? And what's the initial thoughts on Gary Rowett?
Well, I was initially in shock, to be honest, when Neil stepped down. I was totally dismayed. He's Mr. Millwall through and through. His heart and soul's in that club. He gave a really good interview a week ago on TalkSport, which was very thorough, from his testicular cancer to, all through what he'd been through, etc.
Yeah.
and he explained a lot, and it helped me as a Millwall fan understand what had gone on and what was going on. And prior to that, there had been a few away games where fans had got on top of, not necessarily him, but basically the team. And, you know, this was like six games in. He'd brought new players in the summer. And he, you know, had full momentum. The club was all rolling forward and had the feel-good factor, etc., etc. But, you know, he said that the sparkle just went. Mm. And, you know, and on the basis of that, because he loved the club, he stepped down and he thought about it a lot. And there was a report that after the Blackburn game that we lost 2-0 away, that he was sitting in the dugout on his own 20 minutes after the game. I mean, it says a lot, you know.
Yeah,
it
certainly does.
The Luton game, the first half, it was dominated. I think, you know, because it's our third season in the Championship, you know, we need to be dictating play to teams like Luton and Brentford and stuff like that, you know. They're coming at us and, you know, wanting to turn us over. And I just think fans just, I don't know, they just felt, Millwall teams of old have always rolled their sleeves up and had a go. If they're not technically good enough, they're not technically good enough. But basically, if they have a go, give somebody a game of football, we'll clap them off, you know. Well done. Every footballer should go on the pitch and try and win a game of football, honestly, you know. But, I don't know. I've always seen it as 11 men against 11. You've got technicians in the team, blah, blah, blah. But my, it's always about the mindset for me. 11 guys. I'd love the old Wimbledon to take on Man City today.
Yes.
Fantastic game of football. The Wimbledon mindset, you know.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Tony, Millwall haven't won away since March. But as everyone knows in football, the New Den is a notorious place for any opposition.
Absolutely.
Now, if you were taking a visitor to your ground for the first time, how would you describe it to them and what to expect?
That's a loaded question, Paul. I don't know how to answer that.
Can I answer it? No, I'm joking.
So we have a Charlton version and a Millwall version.
I'm open to all, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. I don't think we're on late enough, Tony, for both versions, if I'm honest.
You need the old bleep button out there, Josh.
Yeah.
I'm willing to listen to all sides of the story here, guys.
I mean, the thing is, Tony, you know when you go to the Den, you're going to get this intensity, and it's just that rush that you get from the crowd, and they're all on you. I mean, Lee Bowyer said in his press conference today,
yes.
Yeah, he can put up with a stick and more besides, because he's just going to get it. But he's had it with various other grounds around the country when he was a player, 50,000, bawling out his name. But, I mean, they will try every trick in the book on Saturday, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, what, the crowd?
Yeah.
Oh, of course they will. But to be honest, Lee Bowyer, I mean, I like him. I think he's doing fantastic for your club. You know, and that's the kind you've heard me talk about this before in the past, Paul. I always think the club should have an ex-player, somebody who's got the heart and soul of the club in them.
Yeah.
He's a feisty midfielder, as you know. He always was. Whatever team he's come to the Den and played in, he's got stick. So it's not about Charlton. I think it's about him, more about being an East End boy who's willing to have a go.
Yeah.
That's about it, really.
He's a West Ham fan as well, so they got double reason to give him a little bit of stick.
Well, there you go, you know. Whatever shirt he's had on, the fans have always given him a bit of stick, you know.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, fair dues.
Tony, so, what is your score prediction then for the weekend? You can be honest.
Go on, Tom.
I'll be honest. I want to make this happen for you, right, Charlie? Right? So basically, I was thinking, and I could be friendly with everybody here and go 2-2, right? But I'm not. I'm going to go 3-2 Millwall.
3-2 Millwall. Tony, I'm glad you went with the second one. You've got to be honest. What a pleasure it was to have you on, Tony.
Cheers,
thank you so much for coming
Tony.
On. Honestly, give Paul the Mohican next week. I think he deserves it.
Number
Tony,
one all over.
Tony, the hairdresser there. He was maybe going to sit on the fence. He was maybe going to get splinters. He was going to go for the 2-2. At the last minute, he went for the Millwall win. The score win 3-2. Before I get your predictions and how you think the game's going to play out, Mark, can't wait for that. There's a bit of housekeeping, Paul. There always is.
Yeah.
Let's update everyone.
Yeah, just a few things going through it. I mean, obviously, we had the announcement of that fine this week. I think Bristol City got done for £10,000. We got done for 12.5. What's all that about, Martin? Why have we got the extras bit?
Well, because our players steamed in and, you know, protected their captain who's getting booted laying on the floor. So, you know, I don't get it myself, but there you go.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a weird one. What else, Paul?
Congratulations to Naby Sarr. He's got the call up to Senegal.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's lined up possibly to play against Congo. And here's a country I've never heard of. Have you heard of this, Charlie?
Wait, hold up, because I'm on fire with my knowledge and my quizzes
right.
at the minute after last
I
week.
Mean, I
have you got this right, though? Because I hope you've Googled this with your
you
quizzes.
Go. It's probably a village. Yeah. But anyway, it's a country called Eswatina.
Never
Do you know what? No, I've not heard.
You know, if they'd said Upper Volta or Chad, I would have been on it.
You would have got
it. I've never heard of Eswatina. So there you go. What else
Every
we got?
Every day's a school day for me.
Few little nuggets. Mills a sellout on Saturday, which is really good
news. Well, apart from the bottom tier in the away.
Well, yeah, that's exactly. And also, we touched upon it there with Charlie, the Preston supporter. I mean, if Carlin Grant goes in January, there would possibly be a sell-on clause. So hopefully there'd be some money there in the kitty.
Hello.
Which I'm pleased about. Lyle Taylor's not fit for Saturday. So Lee Bowyer's claiming. Is it a bit of kidology there?
Yeah, we talked about gamesmanship on the show. It's very important.
And also, most importantly, obviously, we have Ahmed on the show every week. John from Thailand, who's fast asleep.
Get up, John.
Would definitely call in if he was on our time
difference.
But
no excuse.
I know.
But we know you're listening, John. And we do really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate it, John. And look forward to listening, watching the show tomorrow.
Well, let's get your predictions and how you think the game's going to play out. I'll leave Mark till last because I know he's excited. Paul,
buzzing.
How is the game going to play out, and what is the prediction for you?
Well, you're going to be surprised at this, Charlie.
I reckon
we've got a batch of games now where we're going to get some points, and we're going to start off on Saturday with a 2-0 win.
Get in there.
So there
Come on, Paul Mart. Here we go.
How's
it going to play out?
I think Saturday's it's our time now. I've had enough of losing to this mob. It's I've had enough of it, and we're going to go there. We're going to fight. We're going to show desire. We're going to show heart. We're going to show passion. And it's going to be Jason Pearce is going to score the winner in a 1-0 win.
Unbelievable. Do you want the good news?
Go on.
Because I'm on a run with my predictions. You're going to absolutely love this, and I'm going to stand by it. Can't wait to play it back next week. Chelten 3, Millwall 1.
Wow.
I promise you.
I won't go to work that night. Cause
you'll be ringing me. And just a very quick one. We did have Charlie on the show. He's tweeted in, thanks for coming on. He said, I've got the bar wrong, lads, if you go in. It's called Plough Bar.
Okay.
All
there
right.
you go.
Fair
Not
enough.
Till January, but again, what a packed show. Tyler was on, Charlie was on, Tony was on. But the people that were on and the ones that matter, Martin and Paul were on. They are the SE7 podcast. This has been the Chelten Fan Show. You can see us next week, every Thursday, 9 to 10. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.